All right, blessed to be a part of your day. Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Pezzo joining us, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Pezzo, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin.
You know, we take a look at this article that we were talking about just last segment and saying that Treasure Valley homes are so high that you've got a Wall Street firm saying we're ready for a sharp slowdown. In fact, we are number two to Nevada when it comes to overpricing homes, overvalued by 20 to 24%. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that's quite a prediction because the world is moving here. And when you do, you find that real estate becomes more and more valuable. There's more and more people, whether it's commercial real estate, that becomes more valuable. And housing prices become, as you are closer in. Do I think they're overpriced in the hinterlands, as you say, Kevin? Yeah, there's plenty of land around here, and I think they'll be finding it, and I think prices will moderate. As far as a sharp drop, I think it would take something pretty serious in the economy to cause a sharp drop in housing prices. But anybody can make a prediction.
Make a prediction, but you just take a look at just the prices of home going up. Prices overvalued by 10% to 14% in the first quarter of 2017. 15 to 19% in the first quarter of 2018, according to this Wall Street firm. And we don't have a lot of high-wage jobs here, sir. I mean, you cover this all the time in Money Matters, the idea of Wall Street versus Main Street. Is that a cause to be alarmed? And I know you're always skeptical of the media, but you're part of the media. You are the media.
Right, yeah. I am skeptical of the media. My part in the media is to be skeptical of the media. How's that? I think that we have to be skeptical of the stories because every time you turn around, everybody's talking about how the world is ending. The world is on fire. This is the most horrific thing ever. And all you want to do is slow down and say, look, this is a first world problem. High housing prices are a first world problem. It means people want to live where you are. It means businesses are vibrant. And wages are going up in this area. They're going up a lot. And so will they catch up and be like San Francisco? Of course not. And I don't think we want that. But at the same time, it's possible as people move here, you're going to see wages go up. They go up in places like Denver over the years. They're going to be going up in Boise, and they certainly are now. Right now, what we're seeing, Kevin, for job growth mostly is people that are moving here and creating businesses and or basically a little one- or two-shop two-person businesses on their own. So entrepreneurs, it's still, Boise is an entrepreneurial place.
Indeed, although to find a place to live.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
They'll solve that.
There's a problem going on here. There is a problem that people refuse to address. And, you know, we're going to be out there on the weed. We're going to be out there on the opioids. We're out there on the getting rid of the grocery tax. So why not step out on this one? And you have people coming in. You have people building subdivisions with no water rights.
Well, that would be a heck of a problem for them, I would suspect.
You have
who's going to buy a house without water rights? Title company won't give it up.
You have people, out-of-state builders coming in from California, and they know nothing about this state. They don't care. They're throwing these homes up, and I can tell you, from firsthand experience, that there are HOAs having meetings where the subdivision is half complete and half of them have water rights and the other half do not. Now, we don't have a lot of water here to begin with, do we?
That would be called title insurance. That would be the builder paying the tune on that one. That's not something that we shouldn't worry about people coming in and building homes. What we're worried about is not having enough homes built, correct? And so if we have more homes that are out there for sale, prices will moderate. What we're running into is that prices can't moderate because so many people are moving in. They absorb all the supply, and of course prices go up. So as we're catching up on that, that will be a positive, not a negative, Kevin. And I wouldn't worry about the homeowners. They're not going to be having to eat this one.
I would disagree with you on that one. We're building too many homes. We don't have enough infrastructure. We've seen it recently. Accidents on Eagle Road, late at night, shutting it down. Accidents on 84, shutting it down for the entire day. Now, those people that live in Boise that are Boise-centric people, doesn't really matter. For people that use that thoroughfare throughout the day, I mean, it was miserable. They were stuck in traffic. Now, shouldn't your friend, Governor Little, coming up with some type of committee to look at some type of outer loop or anything? I mean, we have infrastructure issues, do we not? Let's put a moratorium on growth.
So what you're saying is we don't want to let anybody come in. You're not the only person that says that. I understand, but I don't know how you go about stopping it. And people coming here, again, it creates jobs, it creates growth, it creates increased wages, and yes, housing prices and more traffic. Look, I'm the same way. I want my Boise back, but you know what? You can't have it. And the opposite is worse. You get a place like Weezer that's going downhill. I always pick on Weezer. I got to find another little town to pick on, right? I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying they've got nothing going on, and all the people are leaving. I mean, all the young people leave. They graduate and leave, well, people, and that's not a good choice.
Young people are leaving here, though, too.
Yeah.
Young people are leaving here. I mean, the majority of the people that are coming here are retirees from California. We've become the Florida of the West.
I disagree. I know you are hunkered down in the evenings very early, Kevin, as you have to be because you are up at 3 o'clock to give us the news items. But if you go to downtown Boise, trust me, and I'm an old guy too, but I was blown away at how vibrant it is, and it is almost every night of the week downtown, and it's full of young people, full of it.
Well, that doesn't mean that
not
they're
old
all
retirees.
I will say this on KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM, 580 AM. You have people that are getting their education degrees, leaving the state. People that get their stuff in law enforcement, leaving the state. It has been addressed not by a lonely, curmudgeonly talk show host, but it has been addressed by your friend, the governor. It has been addressed by others that we have a huge brain drain, that people cannot find work. Where, you know, with jobs that are affordable, that sort of thing.
Well, I don't really see a problem with Boise's growth. Again, we are growing like crazy. I think we're looking for problems if we're saying that people are leaving our great state, that they get an education and leave. Because the reality is if it does, then I don't know what we're being overwhelmed with. It's not all retirees, that's for sure. Because we have an overwhelming number of people to your prior.
I would disagree.
There's too many people on Eagle Road.
There are so many people moving here that are retiring from California, and then we hear.
Wouldn't you?
I don't know. I can't speak to it. I've never lived in California. I've been there a few times, but it's, you know, I couldn't speak to that. But back to and I think that again, you have people coming in, they're retiring. We had somebody the other day on a social media post wanting to ban a tree because they mistakenly thought all the pollen or the cotton was from the tree. And can't we ban these trees? It's crazy. So we have the situation. So you and I are going to agree to disagree about the growth issue. See, you know, you talk to everybody that's driving right now and they go, Kevin Miller is right. We have to do something. And whether it's a construction of an outer loop, whether it's expanding, you know, putting these road expansions into high gear,
yep.
I'd much rather see the state of Idaho spending $150 million on expanding roads
yep.
than acquiring the HP campus.
Yep. Well, Kevin, I'm not going to disagree with you on the traffic problem and having a loop and thinking out in the future. This has gone on for a long, long time, and I don't know why the legislature hasn't moved on it. I don't know why we haven't gotten further along. They have plans at least to build out the Emmett Highway, and yet we still haven't done that. And so a loop.
That's just going to add more growth. That's just going to fuel more people.
So will a loop, Kevin.
If you do Emmett to Star thing.
A loop will do that too, because you build it, they will come. You know, if you have easier access to.
I'd rather have the loop, though, so they can have the trucks and the commerce just.
Loop
ease, right, ease on out of the road.
It'll still bring growth. It'll just be like Denver, where you have all these highways going around Denver, and then you put up these communities that pop up all over the place and grow like weeds.
You see, if you like subdivision, if you would adopt my plan, we wouldn't have to worry about it. By the way, I hear you talking to Dave Petzl about home prices. My home is paid for, but my taxes have gone up 64%.
This
64%. That's right, 64% from the last year, 8K to 13.4.
Yeah,
boy, 64% in a year?
No, Kevin, I think this is outrageous, and I think the city of Boise. I don't know about the other cities.
Let me just finish the sentence here.
You're just making me angry too. So,
well, that's good. I'm glad I'm not alone anymore. I've lived in my home for 22 years, and it's getting close to taxing me out of my home.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on, Dave Pezzo?
Why don't you ask the mayor what's going on?
He's too busy cutting ribbons.
He's too busy working on bike lanes and taxing all the buildings in downtown like crazy. Building stadiums. All of these things. The revenues are just absolute. The amount of tax that we pay, the mill rate, and now all they're going to tell you is we're catching up to that, and you should be happy because the value of your house is going up. It's not. It's just like this gentleman's pointing out. Where am I going to live? He still has to live in a house. Right? So you say, well, my value is up. Who cares? The only person who's going to care is your kids when you're dead. That's the only person that cares because then they can sell the house. But for you, you have to simply come up with this ever-increasing cost. Look, seniors have a problem, and I'm not going to sit here with a problem. This is a first-world problem, I realize, but because nobody's really poor. But the reality is that you have fixed incomes for many people, and you have rising inflation in the three main areas. Otherwise, the rest of us don't have inflation. But you've got it in medical care, you've got it in travel to go see those grandkids, and you also have it in your property taxes. Taxes have gone through the roof, and we ought to have a surplus the size of a flipping mountain here in Boise, but we don't. We just get tax. We need more. Let's do more. And we get all this. And I understand that the city council and the mayor are supposed to try to build the most pretty little city, but this tax situation is out of hand. I got my assessment. I haven't got my tax bill, but I guarantee you that the value of my house didn't skyrocket this much in the last 2 years.
That was
and the building downtown that I have is gone. It's absurd. It's obscene. And
that was
the amount of
tax
is
Nampa.
Terrible.
What? Chris was in Nampa, not even Boise.
All right. Well,
it's going up
everywhere.
Let's go to Robert in Caldwell on KIDO Talk Radio. Robert, good morning.
Good morning. So on this. With the amount of growth that's going on, I don't want to impose or tell.
Robert?
Right.
Robert?
But these people that are building subdivisions and these big projects, are we putting in impact fees? And should we be putting impact fees that go directly to infrastructure? And I'm not talking about, I'm not anti-park or anything like that, but we got some really nice parks and some really crappy roads.
That's a very good point, Dave Pezzo. Your thoughts?
It is. I don't disagree at all. We do have impact fees, right? And we are building great parks, and we should. We need open space, but the reality is we also need those roads, and they are raising impact fees. You've spoken a lot about this with your buddy Ahlquist,
Tommy Ahlquist.
Okay.
Not Ahlquist. Tommy. Why are you anti Tommy Ahlquist all of a sudden?
I'm not anti Tommy Ahlquist. I was about to agree with what you guys were talking about.
I would not be anti-Tommy Ahlquist if I were anybody.
I'm not. But at any rate, so you guys have been talking about it a lot, about the impact fees and all, and they do go for various things, whether it's a sewer and all the other things. But I think more disclosure there is a very fair point. I don't know that was exactly what his point is, but I would like more disclosure as exactly where we're spending that money. Where does it go? If we're talking about infrastructure, then why is it an impact fee? Does it just go in the general kitty and then everybody gets to go with their pet projects? Or do we have a defined area of impact for that? I don't know if public disclosure is available but I don't know what it is. So when they talk about impact fees and then cover it with a general blanket, I think we should have more disclosure there. It just got me thinking with this caller. Good question.
More coming up
great
next.
Point.
You're listening to Dave Pezzo, Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. Having a great time with Dave Pezzo here, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Thought of you the other day. I decided to get a book. You get books at all?
Yeah, I do.
You know,
do.
You're so fiscally prudent that you actually buy the used books on Amazon.
Well, Kevin, the truth is I don't read very fast. I just can't read very fast. I read differently. And I had to go to summer school and all those things. So for me, I have to read so much during the day. It's great to get through that. So for me, books on tape are
right.
Wonderful.
But you buy the used ones.
I'm worse than that.
Just go with me. Hold on.
Okay, yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay. So I was looking for this book by Bill Bennett on the consequences of legalizing marijuana, and it wasn't available on Amazon, so I went to Barnes & Noble, and I called the folks at Barnes & Noble, and they didn't have it, but they could order it for me. Well, I'd already looked on BarnesandNoble.com, And the poor guy at Barnes & Noble, he had actually worse computers than I do here at the broadcast center because he actually, hey, can you give me the bin number? I did everything for him. And these folks, I felt so bad for them because they are such at a disadvantage compared to the click and buy something that you get with this automation from a platform like Amazon.
Yeah. Why was it not available at Amazon?
I don't know. But you go to Barnes & Noble, they had it in paperback. I bought it new because I'm bougie on that.
Yeah.
And it's funny because then they didn't send me an email or a phone number, so I just went by and picked it up because it got so frustrating when he said, well, can you give me this? Do you have this? And I already remember, I'm like, I'll just come pick it up at the store. You don't need to deliver it to my house. And these guys are at such a disadvantage when it comes to beating the machine.
Oh, and they are at a huge disadvantage. But it is amazing out there how much stuff is super cheap or free and how much information is available. I mean, because you can go down to the public library, you check it out. You don't have to go down, right? I have the app. I even poke on it. And I have books waiting. So it is, the opportunity to learn and grow is tremendous, absolutely tremendous out there. It is. And I'm so happy there's so many people out there that take hours and hours, days, months to write, research, their best thought, and I just really admire writers. Wish I could do it.
Maybe one day.
I've thought about it many times. I've got a couple books in mind, but Kevin, the kind of focus you have to have is just is overwhelming. I am just stunned that people can get it done.
Dave Pezzo joining us, the Pezzo Center. So what's going on that you'd like to talk about? You're still mad about the property taxes.
Well, yeah, I'm always mad about the property taxes.
Well, if you ran for governor, you ran for governor. You wouldn't have to worry about this.
Anyway, you wouldn't. I would be doing something about property taxes. That's the truth. I find it very frustrating because it is one of those areas that I don't feel that government is responsible at all or thinks ahead, like we were talking. It's the only business in the world, and government's not necessarily business, not for profit, but it's the only entity that never thinks forward, never plans, never has to have a rainy day fund. Just, that's all right, we'll deal with it then, and the next generation of politicians can deal with it, and that's the frustration. Kevin, I want to talk about something really great, though, okay? Can we leave it with that? I want to talk about the greatness of what's going on in the Middle East right now as compared to what happened, would have happened 10, 20, 30 or 40 years ago.
There's going to be a war in the Middle East, is what's going on.
And you see what's going on in the markets, you see it with oil prices. It's a big okay, that's not a big deal. Why? It was a huge deal in the 70s, right? If there was anything going on, we had the oil embargo, and it just absolutely destroyed us. Why? Because we were so energy dependent on the Middle East. And how geopolitically this has changed is absolutely remarkable. With technology and the ability to go ahead and actually drill a hole in our own country, we are now finding that we are now energy exporters, net energy exporters in the United States of America. That's why we're not seeing the spike in oil prices. And we're seeing that, and the geopolitical fallout from this is absolutely astronomical. It means that we are able to deal with the Russians in a much firmer way. Russia isn't continuing to be on a decline because the only thing they have is energy. They're not capable of doing anything else. And so this is a huge thing, and all those terrible, mean terrorists and all that, they're just not important anymore in the Middle East. This is what the markets are telling us. It's a big deal. Very positive.
We'll leave it at that. Thank you, Dave.
I didn't
Pezzo.
Quite get a happy dance out of you, though.
And you won't. My back wouldn't allow it. Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Check him out. Money Matters Saturdays, 8 to 10, right here on KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey. Please do so on the phones. I'd love to hear from you. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And, of course, if you prefer email, that's fine. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. You know, last week talked with Bob Carey. Now, Bob Carey is the economist with one of many economists with First Trust. And, you know, without tooting their horn or anything like that, they can do that themselves. These guys have been pretty spot on, and it really drives home the point that negativity isn't correct. It might be correct on one bullet point or two, but over time, it never is.
I mean, it never is. We solve our problems. We move on to the next. I can't, you know, we all get those little things on your phone, right? Or you know, the little, whatever, they push some message to you. I, for some reason, my brain's dead right now. Can't think of what exactly we call that. But I cannot believe the negativity of every single one of them. And it can be something really mundane, you know, over a weekend. You know, it's like, well, this billionaire really wanted to change the world, but the electric grid got in the way. Oh, okay. Everything would have been fine, except this hopeless country of America. All of its massive problems got in the way. Okay. But to see, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, that we could fix the electric grid. It could get better. You know, there's things we should be improving on. But they always come in the context that it's horrible to live in the greatest country in the greatest time ever on the planet. It's just a horror show. The racism, the women that are just constantly under such duress, not like it is in, you know, great countries in the Middle East. It's just this constant negativity that there's something wrong with us, always. There's something always wrong with us. And it's this constant painted picture. No wonder millennials don't want to save money. And they say, why bother? The world is ending. Well, whose fault is that? It's the teachers. It's society. Well, I'm not bashing teachers. I'm bashing the whole education system, the whole system that says everything's wrong. Everything's bad. It's all bad. America's bad. We're bad. And this isn't just a patriotic discussion. It's when we see the world always negative, how can you have a filter that would actually allow you to say, no, I think that the jobs report's pretty good. And the economy is actually growing, and things are doing okay. And corporate profits are rising, so I think you should probably be investing. If you go ahead and just suppress all of that and say, no, it's terrible. It's horrible. We got to not believe any of that. Yeah, you're actually saying, I don't want to believe any of that. But you're allowing in, as a bigger input, all the negativity. And that's the world anyway. The world is always like that. It's constant push. Listen to our news outlet, because we constantly give you stuff. But if all that stuff is always negative, 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 it's pretty hard for us to filter it out. It's, if you will, since I always like to talk about financial pornography, how about news pornography? It's just constant, 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 constant. And when it's constant like that, how do we think clearly, correctly, truthfully, honestly about things? It's hard or even impossible. But when I think about that, and I think about why are groups of people right most of the time? And nobody's right about every day-to-day thing or stock market move, and nobody should try to do that. That's not what we're talking about. But generally, if we think about what's going on in this country in a general sense, shouldn't we be thinking about, or in the world, is the world growing? Because that's a fundamental question if you should own investments. Is the world growing? Yes or no? The answer is yes, it is growing. Well, it could be faster. See, that's what we're always up against, aren't we? Instead of just answering the question, period, we always have to do a comma, but. It could be better. Comma, but. We're all going to die. Comma, but. You should wait and see what's happening here. No. Period. Is the world growing? That's the underlying fundamental picture. Now, from there, you can say, okay, yes, it is. So investments should be owned because the world is growing, and so therefore profits are going to be growing over time. Now, you don't want to pay too much for an investment, no matter how great the investment is, no matter how great the outlook. If you pay too much, it's not a great investment. Fair enough? So we can evaluate prices. You can say, now, if that's true, good, we should have investments. What kind of investments? Not, but the politics are so bad. But, and we just keep going with all the negative narrative. What does that do? It stops you. It not only makes you a bore, it makes you, you know, who can't recite all the problems in the world? But who instead gives vision of the world? Real clarity. Somebody like Reagan? Remember the change in our country? When one guy stood up and said, I don't think we should walk over and turn down the thermostat in the White House. I think we should change this. And Americans can do that. And we did. And we looked up in the sky a few years before that and saw a bright light circling the world. And that was scary. Because that was a country, not us, that said, we want to conquer the world. That was Sputnik. And we, one person, had a vision of, we're going to the moon. And the nation rallied, and we went to the moon. These aren't people that lead from, it's terrible, it's horrible, it's not fair. And as I look at the politics now, I see a whole line of people, and I know politics are nasty and bad, and you got to make stuff up. I get all that. But I don't see a vision. It's all bad, right? So we see this. These aren't the people that lead. These aren't the people that win. We have to start with, is this the fact when we're talking finance? Yes. Period. Move on. Next question. Are we paying too much for an investment? Good morning, and thanks for joining us. Sorry about that. Had a little bit of a technical glitch, I guess. The phone just dropped, so not much I can do about that. Anyway, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Once again, dave@petsofinancial.net. So I'm talking about the negativity and the constant drip of negativity instead of the bigger picture of what is great. That doesn't mean you see the world with rose-colored glasses and you can't think except other things happy and puppy dogs and sunshine. It really just is saying, I want the clarity to understand that, yes, life can be difficult. And at the same time, the amazing blessings that we have around us. But we also have such amazing material things and medications and, I mean, things that keep people we love alive that we didn't not long ago. But overall, to focus on problems and make them, try to make them better. But the reality is that the average person, the average poor person, is doing pretty well in our country. Frankly, they're doing very well around the world compared to all of history. We've made incredible strides in not having millions of people every year starve to death in Africa. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just a thing that happened. It's a big thing that happens. And should be cause for celebration. Really should. We really need to. We really need to. And when we don't see that clearly, we don't invest. You know, I was talking to Erica in our office the other day because it was she is a millennial, and she's a very bright person, if you will, blows away the whole narrative, if you will, that millennials are this certain type of person that they don't work hard. All they want to do is have vacations, take selfies, and they don't save money, and they don't do. Not true. Not true. And of course, we know that that's really not statistically true. There's plenty of those, yeah, and way to go, our generation that raised them, right? By everybody getting ribbons or whatever the problem is, I don't know what it is, but they're not self-sufficient. But most all of them are just going to be, they're going to grow up fine and be fine, but they're not saving money. And so we were talking about it, and in this, it would be like her job, right? Her passion. What is it you do? I try to get people my age to invest. They save, but they don't invest. And I look at it and go, but it just doesn't make any sense. All of the data, all of history says invest. All of it. There's just simply nothing that doesn't scream, this is so ridiculously silly that you can put a few bucks away, do nothing except get out of the way and become rich. This is absurd. It's an absolutely absurd concept. Well, I don't know. I want to put it in. I better be safe and save it. Doesn't make any sense at all. And so we have to fix that, right? It's like, so what is your passion in life? My passion is to have millennials save money. So anyway, this has been this whole thought process, right? And I'm sitting around thinking about it and realizing there's just something fundamentally wrong. We can just blame teachers. We can blame the education system and all that stuff. And you know what? They should take a lot of blame. Not the individual teachers, but the system. The system of teaching. The system of what we teach. We don't teach that America's great or anything like that. So why wouldn't we think our founding fathers were just a bunch of pompous jerks? Not the bravest people on the planet that faced death if we didn't get independence. They came up with a document that no other country's ever come up with before. If we're just taught how bad they are, no sense of history. It makes sense we wouldn't have anything to think except it's bad. But anyway, if they don't grow up as thinking about investing, because there's no, absolutely, it's like I must be forbidden to talk about economics, capitalism, wealth building, entrepreneurship. What does it take? How do you build companies? I mean, something, you know, something along an economic line in school. So you can't blame millennials. They haven't been taught anything about it. How do you blame a child who has never had a chance to learn anything? So we can't. It's us. And we're not teaching the principles of investment. At all. And I think about that in a broader sense is how many adults, non-millennials, are in the same boat? They don't know. They don't know that if you put $150 a month away, a cup of coffee a day, for 40 years, that you wind up with $1.2 million, and you don't have to do anything. You're not allowed to do anything. That's what the S&P, $150 a month, grew to over the last 40 years. I mean, how hard is that? It's not. It's an understanding. We have to have an understanding of what we're trying to do. Of what the markets do. And when we think of this in the prism of all bad all the time, if all we're taught as we grow up is that the world is ending, so why bother investing? Then why would you invest? And if that's just beaten into you all the time, not the idea that the world is growing and entrepreneurship is growing globally, and the digitalizing of the world makes it a more even playing field for all people in all places. And that that's not bad. Different isn't bad. Different is different. We just have to adjust sometimes. And nobody likes change. I know that. But when change is good, we shouldn't say change is bad. It is good. It is good that we have better medicines. That's good. It is good that people live longer, healthier lives. That's good. It's good that we're knocking on the door of, actually with 3D printing and genetics and everything else, of growing organs to replace, to maybe one day the people who have had terrible accidents are going to be able to walk again. Or at the very least, in the future, the people that have terrible accidents will be able to walk again. I mean, these are, we're knocking on the door of all this stuff, right? This is good. It's not bad. But the world's changing so quick, we get spun out of control. We think we can't think. So I don't want to digress too far on this or just give some Pollyanna hope of things. But when we don't see the world clearly, optimistically, and all we see is this push, the pushes, that's it, the push reports to us, they're always negative. I mean, I get Bloomberg, you know, of course I get Bloomberg, but I don't know what else to get. I'd love to get something else because all it is, they hate Trump. He hates Trump so bad that it doesn't matter when something great is happening. And it doesn't even have to be Trump. But it's just symptomatic of all news that comes today. It's just like weekend stories, like I said, about some millionaire or billionaire really wants to change the world in some way, but, oh, they're stopped. Okay. By the horrible country of America. Like, America is just a horrible place to be. It's not. We're not. And when we think we are, it really screws us up big time. It really does. All right, let's go ahead, and I'm going to shut up for a minute. Let's go ahead and go to the phone. Let's go to Terry. Terry, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please. I don't think we've got Terry. All right. All right. Well, we'll try back on that. Okay. Well, all right. When we all think negative all of the time, we can't invest, and we stop investing, or we sit on too much cash. Any way you want to phrase it, we're not seeing clearly. We are not seeing clearly. And that's the point I'm trying to make. When we think about the news, we think about the news flow, because you can't even turn it off your phone. When every little drip, every little tiny drip is a negative drip, it's tough to rise above it and see with clarity what's really going on in the world. And that's the drive. If we want to change the way we think, we have to note that that little piece of it, because you can't shut it off completely. Nobody's disconnected. Oh, we can disconnect. I remember last weekend, you know, doing some golf and some golf. It was all golf all the time, right? It was a big old big thing. And it rolls into the evenings when you have shootouts and all these things, right? Fun stuff, but it's a real disconnect. I don't know what's going on in the world. But you do that for a couple of days, that's it. And it's back at it. And that, without a doubt, is a good, important thing to do. But we can't always be away from it. So recognize it. See it coming at us. Because it does come at us. Comes at us from every direction, all the time, and we don't see things clearly. All right, it's not Pollyannish, but think of where we've been. Think of where we are. But most importantly, without trying to predict ridiculous things that you can't. Just think about the general direction of where we're going. Because it's pretty amazing. If we've been here, gotten to here where we are now, imagine where we're going. That technology driver to cleaner air, cleaner water, even with more people, is quite astounding. And we don't want to miss that. Super important not to miss that. All right, you hear the music? I do too. We'll be back in the second hour, and I want to tell you what I've been thinking about regarding what's going on in the world, and I want to hear your thoughts too. We'll be right back after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And once again, I want to make this really, really clear. We're not here to tell you how to what to buy, or sell, or the market's going to go up this week, or stocks are a bargain, or anything like that. Because the fundamental belief is that you invest and you leave it alone for the long term. I know, there's not a lot to it. It worked okay for John Templeton. It works okay for Peter Lynch and Michael Price, Benjamin Graham, Warren Buffett. It works okay for guys like that. I just don't think we want to overthink it. And that's also part of the point that I'm making with all the news and all the news flow. It misleads us to thinking we need to do things we don't need to do. We need to sit on our hands and leave it alone. Stop it. Stop turning, grading. I need to get out. And before we take a call here, I just want to mention this is because I see it. I see it in real life. I really do. It's not just reading about people that do this. We see it. We see people who are like, okay, we're going to invest. And then the first bad news or downturn, they just get immersed in the, you know, Trump this, Trump that, and blah, blah, blah. And before you just think it's an anti, you know, leftist thing, it's people on the far right that were just like, Obama. Okay, what about Obama? It's constant, especially when we twist it with the narrative of what of politics instead of seeing what's going on. Leave it alone. But I've watched so many over the years in person, and they bail. And I'm not just talking about really amazing times we all talk about, like the beginning of 2009, when the market's flying around 1,000 points a day from bottom to top. Frightening. But I mean just little things, nothing things. Because market corrections are normal. And when we sit around and just focus, my net worth, push the button, honey, let's find out what we're worth tonight. When we do that, it's not educational. It's like opening the door to worry, to concern. It's not helpful. And we don't want to do that. Ever. It's not that the world is perfect, but the world is not so bad. And certainly the world of economics is phenomenal. Almost consistently phenomenal. Really is. All right, let's take a call here. Let's go to Terry. Let's see if we can find Terry this time. Terry, are you still there?
We made it, Professor.
There we go. Good, Terry. Thanks
right.
for calling
well,
back.
What you're talking about sort of reminds what the boy says, a Polish proverb of not my circus, not my monkeys.
Good. Okay, I like it.
Everything's running in circle and crazy and chaos, and sit back and have a beer and relax a little bit. I mean, what the heck?
That's good. I like it. I like that a lot. You are a very wise man. I like your little sayings.
Oh, I love aphorisms. It's my favorite word.
But, well, that's a good word. That's a big word.
Anyway, listen to you with Mr. Miller a little earlier in the, you know, at the start of the show.
Yeah.
And I, the hopefully soon to be mayor says that City Hall will go ahead and pay cash for the library without asking us poor peons.
Mm.
I heard that on the news the other, again, speaking of the news thing. Well, with a 250,000 population plus or minus in Boise and an 800 million or 85 million he's gotten cash to pay for the library out of pocket money for the city, why don't they just go ahead and send us all a $340 check and let us boost the economy a little bit?
Exactly. I know. It's always, and it always is in that sense. And that's always just very frustrating to me, right? We don't ever plan forward for anything, whether it's infrastructure. Fine. I get that. You don't start building roads until there's people here. I get that. But at the same time, when we're talking about things like schools, I know, for example, that I'm going to have to replace the roof on the building here, not that far away, frankly.
Oh, yeah. And well, when I got your email on the
remodel, I'm just going to wait. What's that?
Well, when I got that email on your remodel, I was hoping you're making the office plusher so Eric can relax more and make me more money.
A fair point. And that is that's actually what we're doing now. It's not the roof, but we're going to have to. I'm going to have to. It's an old flat roof. It's just something you plan for. But in old flat roofs in schools, we don't. You know, because what we're going to do is we're then going to go and we're going to raise money through an override levy. But don't worry, the override levy, we're not going to raise your taxes, Terry. That's not, no. We're going to put the mill rate here, do that there, and your taxes aren't going to go up. Or it's something like, it's only going to cost $20.
And we have that tax on ignorant people that, we have that tax on ignorant people called the lottery that build a whole bunch of really plush clock towers around all our schools and buildings, too. So another one that I don't understand.
I don't either. I don't know where the money goes, but it always goes. And it goes into what people want to spend it on today to build a political position, because it is not going to help you politically to actually be planning. All businesses, all human beings, all people who are reasonably successful at all must plan.
Mm-hmm.
You must plan for retirement. You must plan for things in the future. I mean, if you want to send your kids to college, you got to start saving money today. You don't just wake up one day and go, honey, we got to send them to college. Oh, that's great. The magic money fairy showed up and here's 50 grand a year. That's not going to happen without planning. It's not. And we all understand that fundamentally. No business can succeed without planning for what they're going to be looking like 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and adjusting that as we go. But government doesn't ever. And that's a frustrating thing. So I am very frustrated about the whole library thing, pretending like there's a, like that's not your and my money in the first place. And it is. And I think if we hold government accountable on a local level, we can't do it federally. We're not big enough.
Yeah.
But we can on a local level to say, we want to know what's going on and we want to see some plans. And you don't just spend money that's sitting there. That's my money.
Yeah.
You need to have our authority to do it. So I'm with you, Terry. I think so.
You got these hubris driven profligate bureaucrats. Don't remember that government only grows more government.
Right.
Their job is to have more responsibility, to make it bigger, to nanny us some more, to keep us from hurting or whatever. And just leave us the heck alone and leave us have some of our money.
I agree with you, Terry. That's what freedom is all about. It always was about. And the more government does for us, the more, this is the unfortunate thing, people don't see it, to your point.
Yep.
The more freedom we have taken away, always in all ways, that's the way it is. And I don't want government to do, just leave.
Yeah, it's don't help.
Don't help, because it's always a hurt, and it takes freedom away, it takes productivity away, it takes innovation away. And I mean from you, because when you create and do something cool, it enhances my life. You get rich, and that's great. Because you enhance my life, and I like your iPhone idea, or I like the internet idea, or I like, you know, searching for things that I want to, like, I can Google something right now and tell me I have the Library of Congress at my fingertips. And you know what's cool about that? I don't have to walk through the library. It just tells me, goes right to the section that I'm after. This is amazing stuff we take for granted only because of innovation and the freedom. And then the more we have government, the less of that we're going to have.
Yep, there's an author out there named Steven Pinker that's got
he's awesome. Yeah,
two great big tomes. I haven't been able to fight my way through them yet, but it's the positive thing. His last book was the positive things that had happened in the last 100 years.
Yes, yes. And I mean, and by the way, this is a guy that comes from a very liberal bent, and he admits it. You know, he comes from a very liberal bent. So it's not just freedom seekers that understand that the world is a pretty good place. It's also folks that come from the left. It's we're not alone. We're not alone.
Well, left, right, center, indifferent. You know, again, it doesn't matter. If you're good people and you're doing nice things, well, I hate to say nice because now they're having a whole city program to say I've got to be nice versus just me going out and doing it. But
yeah,
good things happen when nice people just go ahead and treat each other good.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, I'm starting to fumble around here for words here, and I need my breakfast. So y'all have a good day, sir.
Terry, we appreciate you calling back. You have a good rest of the day.
All right, man. Bye.
Bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. We're going to use this as a great opportunity to take our first break. And when we come back, I hope we're going to talk with you. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what's on my mind. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, before I talk about this segment, because I love doing this segment. It's kind of fun for me. But what, because I do like to talk issues through, but when I say that, it's not just me talking. I don't have all the answers. I'm kind of thinking out loud, if you will. And I really do want your input. And this is not just a begging for phone calls beg. I'd love to hear your thoughts on anything we're talking about. And you can also change directions and ask questions about anything. But if it's something strikes you, I'd love to hear from you. And what I'm saying on this segment is it's something that I kind of came across a few weeks ago where it was just like people are asking from time to time. So what are you thinking about with the markets? What do you and it's a bigger question than that. It's like, what do you think about in overall to kind of drive your thought process? What is it you're thinking about? And what I always try to do is bring that back to a basic thought process. And I don't know. The answer is I don't know. I didn't know. I don't know what I exactly think about or what I'm reading or what I'm just dwelling on and what we're talking about at the office. What are you guys talking about? What are you noodling on? What are you thinking about? And it's just one of those things that it's like, well, we do. We're thinking about things. So what drives that? And just thinking that through is really helpful. It doesn't mean you have answers of what the future is going to be or what stocks to buy. But if you're centered in a fundamental belief that things are universally getting better, it changes the idea of trying to time things or get out. Are things better? Are we progressing as human beings? Are we progressing? And you might say, no, I don't like those. I get that. And these are morals and ethical questions, and I think they're important too. But as a society, economically, as a driver for finance, are things getting better? And when we come back to that, we say, yes, okay, then invest. That's fine. But also day to day, what things are we thinking about? Like, why is it or how do we stay positive if everything's negative? But here's what I've been thinking about this week if we want something specific and something amazing. Now, many of you, most of you probably know, I do and have for years and years and years, decades, done news with Channel 7, and I do it regularly on Mondays, actually, before I come in and talk with Kevin. And so I touched on this last week, but it's you never get a chance to really elaborate, right, in a couple minutes. Spot. But what I've really found myself marveling at is this. What's going on with Iran and the Middle East isn't just this thing like, well, Iran is a little country compared to the United States. We can blow them back into the dark ages again. And these guys are just awful terrorists. Terrorist supporters, and we got to get away from that horrible Iranian deal that Obama did. All those things are true. But think about what would have happened with this not so many years ago, where the price of oil would be. What would happen to the global economy with this? What would happen to the stock market? I mean, this is an astounding thing, an amazing shift. And if we aren't just talking about day to day, or if we are, I should say, if we're just sitting there talking about, well, you know, the Iranians said this, and then they shot down the drone, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then we just kind of like, go buy it. Like, this is bad. So the question is this, how does the stock market go up? I mean, it's up. We went to all-time highs after the drone was shot down. Huh? And oil must have gone through the roof. No. No. Now, you take this, too, and it's not just a, wow, that's really interesting. We're talking about gas lines in the 1970s. Gas lines. Waiting for every single OPEC meeting to find out if how much oil they might dribble at us. We knew we were going to run out of oil. We knew it. Books were written. Peak oil. All the doomsdayers rolling around. Remember, I grew up with film strips about the orange world. Excuse me. Hold on. Let me look outside. Oh, yeah. The sky is blue. Not orange. It's blue. You're wrong. You're always wrong. Always. But it doesn't fit the narrative to raise money that for all, and don't get me wrong, because this is partly because the environmentalist groups were on it. But how are you going to raise money if you're not shouting about the world is ending? The seas are rising. The reason the terrorists are out there is because the seas are rising. Really? So the weirder, freakish, freak-out people scenario you draw, the more money you're going to raise? Because that's what it's about, isn't it, pal? Raising money. Because you're raising awareness. Here's the reality. We didn't run out of oil. We didn't. We're not going to. I don't know where it's coming from. Scientists don't know where it's coming from, but it keeps coming. We didn't run out. And then technology discovered this amazing thing, fracking. I know it's going to cause earthquakes. It's going to cause the water supply to be bad. It's going to cause whatever. The end of the world, right? That's always the narrative. End of world. Because if you're free to drive, create jobs, go see things, have energy at your place instead of a candle, but I'm sure candles burn carbon or something, I don't know, then it's awful. But think about what we're doing with natural gas and everything else. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's phenomenal. So what I'm thinking about is, why is the market not reacting to this? And what does that mean? How do you go to all-time highs? Do you understand what I'm saying? This is really radically different. Instead of tanking 10%, which we should, did always in the past, we go to all-time highs. But this isn't good news. I'm not saying it's good news. It's not. We're ignoring it. And the oil markets are barely going up because we have become energy independent. And this flows out in multiple ways. The Soviet Union is in radical decline. And the only thing they have –
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Sorry about that. We're just having some technical difficulties today, so I apologize. But I think that you get the point. We're just trying to think through how in the world do we end up at all-time highs when we have trouble in the Middle East? And I know for those millennials out there that happen to be listening, you don't understand, but everybody else does. This is used to be a very, very big deal and is not. And it's really interesting to me how markets ignore us and how far we have come. And the global implications are just massive. I mean, absolutely massive to this. All right, let's go to the phones. And thank you for calling. Debbie, please go ahead.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hi there.
Hi. Hey, I was thinking about what you're talking about, the negativity and the, you know, the things that the media tells us all the time. Have you ever heard of the Great Horse Manure Crisis?
No, I have not heard the Great Horse Manure Crisis, other than if you're talking about in the big cities, in days gone by, there was a crisis, yes.
Right. In 1894, the London Times predicted, in 50 years, every street in London will be buried under 9 feet of manure.
that's fantastic. That talk about linear thinking, right? We just think in
right.
a straight line.
And they had a big conference to come together to internationally decide, you know, because New York City had the same problem as London. What are we going to do about this horrible horse manure crisis? They gave up. There was no solution to the problem. And then, you know, what happened 20 years later? We got cars, we got electric street cars and everything. So it's just pretty funny.
It is. No, you're right. And you stop and think about that. Well, what are we supposed to do without cars, the combustion engine? We go back to horses,
mm-hmm.
and then we have that problem. So anyway, well,
I also have seen some old reruns of the Mary Tyler Moore Show in the 70s. And, of course, in the 70s.
Debbie, did we lose you? Well, shoot. All right. We lost Debbie. I don't know if we can go to Paul or not.
Hello?
Hello, Paul?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, go right ahead. You go ahead, Paul.
That was interesting what Debbie was talking about. I just read the this book called The Race Underground. It was about Boston and New York doing their subways. Anyhow, one of the reasons they went that way was because of the horse manure problem. But anyhow, I had an interesting way to get to your program that I thought maybe you'd find interesting. And it was that last month I was on Craigslist. And I found a music stand, and so I went over to buy it from this guy that lived over on 28th Street. He was a bass player, and he decided that he was going to sell off his equipment and go and move to Coos Bay. He was probably in his 50s or 60s, so he wasn't a young spring chicken.
I know who it is.
You know who it is. Okay, then.
I do. His name's Craig. It's got to be him.
Yeah, and so he said that he'd been around to some jam sessions and stuff around here in town, and he decided that, you know, he didn't want to be kind of milling about playing with these particular folks, and so he was packing up and going to Coos Bay and going to study marine biology. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, then we were visiting a bit. He was an interesting guy, and he asked me about, you know, what I did with my financial advising and so forth. And I said, well, you're looking at the guy that advises me. It's me. You know, and he says, wow, you should get a hold of Dave Petzo because, you know, he's made me a wealthy guy. And so I was... saying, well, you know, I've heard of that Dave guy on the news because I'm been around town here for a long while. I'm a native and so forth. But anyhow, that was that. And then the other night, I you know, I've got my radio stand here by by my bed, and it got moved, and in the dark I grabbed it and moved it back over into position, and meanwhile I'd set it off the radio dial to a different station. It was in between whatever, and been set on an FM liberal NPR show, you know, and I've been listening to it and wanting to throw the radio through the window a lot of times and stuff. But, so anyhow, it must have got switched from AM to FM, and so I was fine-tuning it, and I ended up getting on the Fox network, and anyhow, that's how I came about listening to your show this morning. It was the first time I've tuned in to your show on, you know, AM. And what, anyhow, this fellow I bought the music stand from was saying that, you know, you gave good advice, and he was really happy about it, and I was wondering about, well, so how do you make your money? You know, he was really saying that your fees were decent, or if at all existent, you know, and so that's what I was curious about.
Well, it's kind of him to say, and but we are we charge fees to manage people's accounts, and like most, and that's how we make our living. But we've always felt that fees were coming down and should. Everything in our world is becoming cheaper, and I know people disagree with that because it's just a broad thing that there's inflation, but there's only inflation in a few things. There's disinflation when it comes to, because of productivity and technology, there's disinflation. And the best example I can give is we have one less administrative person than we did literally 15 years ago, and we are 5 or 6 times the size. And so that helps drive costs down because technology allows us to do so much more with fewer people. And anyway, but the point is that fees are fairly low, and I think they're even going to go lower. And that's just kind of the way the trend out there. But we don't like to talk about us and how do we make money. People can find us, and we're happy to talk to them one-on-one and let them know how we can, if we can, help them. And but it's really not about managing money. It's managing people and managing what you're trying to do. That's what we really do. We don't just say, oh, here's a hot stock. Here's how you build a perfect portfolio. That's nonsense. The reality is how can I not run out of money? How can I help my grandkids? These are what real life people are doing. Or how do I transition out of my work, and become a retired person that basically doesn't do anything, you know? And that's not a bad statement. It's just a transition statement, particularly difficult for us guys. It's not easy.
Right.
Women are much more, have a much easier time of transitioning out of their work and identifying who they are by their work than men do. So it's a different ball game for sure. And, but we talk about all those things and building not a portfolio, but discussing what money means to a person and why are they holding it, and what do they want to do with it? What is it designed to do for them? And in many cases, believe it or not, we're trying to help people let go of it. Just let go. It's okay. You can spend money. It's all right. You can spend it on you. Give it away. You can do what you want to do. It's not going to go away. Don't be afraid. And it does help.
Between, you know, acquisition and disbursement or whatever is kind of a strange feeling once you get to that point, because, you know, been going through life, you know, buying low and selling high or whatever and trying to accumulate. And then, you know, just shift the lever and oh my God, I'm not accumulating anymore. What's going on here? I guess the sense of that not being wrong, it's kind of actually not a bad move to make, I guess, once you're in a position that you wouldn't be kind of wiping yourself out if you were able to do that.
But it's a difficult transition, very hard.
Yeah,
I mean, I can speak from personal experience. It's not an easy thing to not be feeling like you have to accumulate. That's what we do, and those are great habits, and that's how people get rich. It's what you should be doing when you're young, is how do I build money up? So if you're doing that for 20 or 30 years or 40 years, transitioning is extremely difficult, and we just don't deal with that. It's hard to deal with that emotionally. I'm scared now. And you can't imagine how many people that have way, multiples amount of money compared to how much income they are trying to draw, how much more they have, and yet they just, it's hard to pull the trigger and do that because it is hard. It's hard to change habits.
Yeah.
Even good ones sometimes need to be changed.
You know, one thing that relates to all this stuff, like I had I have a few rental houses around town. Unfortunately, I sold one of them off in 2013 because, I didn't know which way the taxes were going and this and that, and the roof needed it. But I got it all dolled up into new shape and ended up selling it off. And if you look on Zillow nowadays, it's, if I would have locked the door up and just held on to it, I'd be probably $250,000 ahead just in 3 years and not even renting it out, But anyhow, in the meanwhile, I read a book about the Federal Reserve that my daughter brought over to me, and I didn't have an understanding on how our money system really works. Federal Reserve, they just print the money, and we're just, since 1913, we've been on the hook with this secretive banking system. And had I known that, a person that's wise to hang on to sort of solid assets as opposed to this paper-printed wealth that we've kind of got our system based on, I would have never, ever considered, letting go of the real estate. So,
Paul, I am so happy you found us, but I'm also going to leave you with this thought that we talk about all the time, and that's the be very careful what your inputs are. There's lots and lots and lots of books over the decades that have been written about the fiat currency and how it's just not going to work since we've gotten off the gold system and so on and so forth. And yet, as we look around the world today, it has accelerated our growth, and the poor aren't so poor anymore. And the rich are certainly very rich. We have a very abundant economic system. And if you ask the people who write about the Fed all the time, we're all about to die, and we've all been about to die in my entire adult life, for sure.
That's true. And one thing that has been brought out about that as well, the people that were supposedly responsible for contriving this system, they've actually been the ones that have. Fort Knox doesn't have any gold. If you ask people what about the Federal Reserve, and they say, "Well, isn't there where all the gold is?" Well, Fort Knox doesn't have any gold because those people have got all the gold too. So, it's kind of a
gotcha. All right, we got to take our break here. Paul, I thank you again,
Dave.
And I'm really glad you found us. So you have a great rest of the day. What a small world. I actually know who you're talking about.
Where's your office?
We're on Main Street in downtown Boise.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Have a good one.
Thank you. You have a great rest of the day. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're going to take our final break. We'll have plenty of time left, and I believe we've got Lee Joe on hold. But we'll and hopefully you. We'll be right back. Hello, good morning, and thank you for joining us. What a beautiful day we're going to have. This is going to be fantastic. Cooling off. I'll tell you, it's interesting as the summer equinox is like low temperatures, way lower than normal. Wow, it was chilly last night. All right, let's go to the phones. I'll quit jabbering about the stupid weather. Lee Joe, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Just wanted to chime in about how the economy is doing and where we're at and how it relates to our housing and Treasure Valley and, jobs. Personally, it seems like when the economy's up, my job is up. When the economy's down, my job is down. I'm one of those guys that works paycheck to paycheck pretty much. And I see that my house value now is, I could probably stick it out there for $300,000, and some fool would come along and buy it at that price. And, you know, so I'm looking at it and I say, wow, my net worth's going up thanks to the Californians coming in here. You know, maybe I ought to hawk that thing and, you know, and hold the money until prices are back down to something that, you know, something that seems slightly normal for the area. But then, of course, by then my job will be down and it'll be hard to afford, you know, to get into something again. So
right.
I see this economy go up and we talk about wages going up and my wages have gone up. My benefits have gone up. I was able to harass my employer into actually starting a 401k for all our employees, you know, and that means
right.
things are doing really good. And normally an Idaho construction job has no benefit for, you know, for a long time. That's where you're at. You get a paycheck. Congratulations. And
right.
it'll be just enough to make the rent. So, it goes back to the economy is doing good and, you know, we're going to build houses out here. Kevin may lament the, what he sees as a lack of planning, but you can go to the ACHD meetings and what have you and the transit authorities. And yeah, they planned for this stuff, but it was all supposed to be 20 years from now. So, you know, there's just no way to keep up with what we're doing. And
there is,
except
and
for,
that's it. You know, go ahead.
Unless you're Dave Beter and you've been taking, even through the Great Recession, you've been taking your entitlement tax raise, that 3% every year, and shoving it in your pocket. And then when you go to the, you know, when you go and say, oh, we're going to build this fancy library, he says, well, we'll have everybody, whatever, pass a bond, we'll, CCDC is going to do it, et cetera, et cetera. It'll still be tax dollars. And then when there's a big uproar, he says, oh, yeah, never mind. We've got this in our pocket that we should have never had in the first place. So the real purpose of my call is to recruit you to run for Boise City Council.
Oh, well, I don't think they'd have one bit of me. That's for
they,
sure. And
but somebody has to run.
Thought.
I recruit. I've been trying to recruit at the Republican meetings, and there's very, you know, there's not a lot of people that have a broad base of interest. And you're that guy. Come on down. Make it happen.
Okay. Well,
no more complaining.
I appreciate it.
Part of the system. Anyway.
I know it's a tough thing. It is a tough thing. It is. It's a very hard thing to. I've said for my whole life because of my own personality that, and believe it or not, my sister in Edmonds, Washington, is a constant politician over there. She's been mayor as well as city council in Edmonds, but she's a lawyer. I mean, she's likes reading documents and bylaws and rules and things like that. I think I would have to, if I was talking about a neighborhood speed bump or something, I would probably have to, I would prefer to have, you know, needles stuck in my eye than listening to that all night long. I mean, those are I'm just being honest. I just can't deal with that kind of bureaucracy.
But it'd only be an hour or two a week of needles in your eyes. And then there'd be one financial planner out there, one person planning ahead and saying, oh my goodness, maybe we don't need all this money.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree with you. And I wish that these governmental agencies would seek more outside advisory, out in the real world, if you will, people who are dealing with the rules and regulations and see things on a bigger level. Yeah.
And sometimes
anyway, I do
they
appreciate
do.
That.
Sometimes they do. They have their councils and their advisories and their whatever, and then that just gets stuck in groupthink, and you come out with idiot stuff anyway. So
I know. Some of that you do.
You're still not winning.
I do think, but there are some good people out there. I've been on several boards, and I,
I see people that think things through in a very deep and long-term, long-range level and have strong disagreements. So I think it's a very interesting, you know, I really do. Anyway, thank you, sir.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Pedso for City Council.
I love
it. You heard it here first.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
You have a great rest of the day. Thanks, and take care of yourself. And, you know, we are wrapping up for today. This is just about it. I just wanted to say I really appreciate the discussion today. I appreciate people talking about and thinking through, because we don't have to have groupthink. We don't. Not at all. It's not necessary to have groupthink. People can have honest, I don't mean disagreements, but really more like, I see what you're saying, but here's the way I would twist that. I would think we add on to each other's thoughts, even sometimes with a little bit of, I don't agree with that. But we add on to each other's thoughts, and a strong dialogue is also one that has differences of opinion. We all know that. A strong dialogue is necessary. Anyway, you all have a great rest of the weekend. I know I'm going to, and we're going to talk to you live next week. Thanks again for tuning in.